Postseason baseball is here, and it is the absolute best time of the year. I'm Rob Bradford of Baseballs and Boring, and we're going to have you covered every step of the way with instant reactions from players and coaches and managers and fans and reporters and everybody else who is immersed in this awesomeness and all the craziness that comes with October baseball. So follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's all Bills all day. Buffalo Bills Football Tuesday. Exclusively on WGR Sports Radio 550. Brought to you by Northwest Bank. For what's next, get started at northwest.com.
He lines up under center over the left side, and he is in for a one-yard touchdown run. Josh Allen's first rushing touchdown since week one. Play clock down to five. Here's the snap. Back to pass. Bills are in the blitz. And A.J. Epenesa has arrived in Mr. Rogers' neighborhood. It's another sack. Back to pass. Pocket collapsing. Allen squirts away from it. Throws to the end zone. And it's caught for a touchdown. Dawson Knox with the 12-yard touchdown reception. Rogers looking to load up. Fires deep, rainbow down the field, looking for Mike Williams, and it's intercepted! Taron Johnson, welcome back! A humongous interception by the nickel corner!
You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show with Sal Capaccio. Brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com.
And Josh, I love it. You are surprising me in such a good way today. First of all, I like this tune. I like the song. But I will also tell you, I heard this song so much this weekend. Because whenever you go to New York, all right? If you go to New Jersey, New York. So we go to New Jersey this weekend. Bills are playing. So get there on Sunday. You have all Sunday evening. And what I like to do, my buddy Bill Whippert, who is the photographer for the Bills and Sabres, we like to hang out a lot when we go to New York. It's just kind of our thing. We always kind of go in and take the subway in and walk around Manhattan. The hotel we were in was in Jersey City, and we go in. But when you walk around Manhattan, street vendors, people with things they're trying to sell, this song is playing everywhere. Like, they all have this song playing. So I heard it all weekend. And now the Bills get to own it as their own because a New York team won over a New Jersey team. I mean, I wasn't even going to talk about this today. I didn't think about it. But I'll start with this because it's on my mind that you're playing this. Josh, did you see the Bills tweet last night after the game? Elite, elite tweeting.
I did. That was a great, great tweet. I loved it.
It was awesome. I'm going to tell you what it is right here. Let me get the exact wording. Was it? Here we go. Okay, so last night, after the game, get on the plane, about to take off, and I look at my Twitter feed, and here it is. It says, let me give it, basically what, great weekend for New York teams, right? I'm trying to find it now. There's so much stuff before that. Sorry. I thought I'd get to it a little bit quicker here. What was the exact tweet? I don't even know. I have to go back and look. Anyway, I sent it to a couple people on the Bills social media team last night.
I've got it.
Really
good. I've got
here we
go. A great night
for
New York
sports. Thank you. A great night for New York sports. It's got a picture of the Mets winning, a picture of the Yankees winning, and a picture of the Bills winning. That is elite level trolling.
I mean, hey, they had to get back on the horse a little bit because between what Houston tweeted after the Bills lost to Houston, what the Devils tweeted after the Sabres lost to the Devils, they definitely got back a little bit.
There's some social media barking going on in sports big time right now, right? It's like, who can social media the other better and troll each other a little bit better? We're not trolling you today, though, by telling you the Bills are back on the winning track. 23-20 last night over the New York football Jets. It wasn't, I mean, I hate using the phrase, it wasn't pretty. It wasn't, because it was ugly at times because of the officials and the disjointed nature of the game and a lot of mistakes made. It wasn't the cleanest, most incredibly well-played game, but a lot of really good things happened, too, for the Bills. But most importantly, they get out of there with a win. They escape from New York, as Kurt Russell once did as well, with a win. 23-20 on Monday Night Football, national stage. Aaron Rodgers head coach change for the Jets. Lots of different things going on in New York surrounding the game. And somehow the Bills get out of there with a victory, and you'll take it. Winning like that is still way better than losing and saying, oh, wow, you look really good, but you still lost. No. Week-to-week league, you take a win any way you can get it. And it's not like the Bills played terrible. They did not, but they certainly made a handful of mistakes. And we're here to talk about it all day today on a Buffalo Football Tuesday. It is the Catholic Health Extra Point Show and, of course, the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. On a Tuesday after a game, Victory Tuesday, I'm actually wearing my Victory Monday shirt because I don't have one that says Victory Tuesday. So here you go. You can look at it. You can see me. Say hi. We are on the WGR Facebook page, facebook.com/WGR550. Welcome in. Hi, I'm Sal. Good to see you. Good to talk to you. You can comment right there on the Facebook page if you want. I can't comment back to you. I'm doing the show right now, but you can do that with all the fans who are interacting and watching. You can also just listen to the next 2 hours, and you can call. It's your chance. I have open phone lines right now. Last week was just bam, 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 bam. That's what happens after losses. It's just lit up. The phone banks are lit up like a Christmas tree. I have a couple of screens in front of me, and the phone lines light up, and they're different colors based on how long you've been on hold, if you're next up, if you're on the air, and it's just like a Christmas tree. There's red, there's green, there's white, there's orange, but not right now, so let's make it happen. 803-0550 is the number to call here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show on a Buffalo Football Tuesday, presented by Catholic Health, the right way to care, and brought to you by Northwest Bank. For what's next, get started at northwest.com. 2320. I do not want to start with negatives because you win a game in the NFL to move to 4-2 and take a stranglehold in the division, which we'll talk about later and where the Bills stand. I don't want to do that because it's just, it's negative. It's too, it's not where you should start, but there are lots of negatives that you can get to that you will want to. The Hail Mary, the kicking game, no doubt about it. How about we start with the positives though? How about we start with this team winning a game that it just seemed like was slipping away from them time after time after time. And if you're a Jets fan, you're probably like, how did you not win that game? Think about it from a Jets perspective today in New York. I watched and listened to some of the media last night on the way back. Landed here in Buffalo at 2:35 in the morning last night. It was a fairly long bus ride compared to normal to the airport from the stadium. So I'm kind of consuming some of the media surrounding the game, the end of game. You know, obviously I'm in the press conferences in the locker room, but I'm watching some of the other, you know, analysts that are coming on, and analysis, I should say. And a lot of it was the New York media saying, look, it was right there for the taking. They didn't take it. And I agree. The Bills gave them opportunities, but the Bills also clamped down a few times they needed to clamp down, and they deserve to have credit for that. Let's start with Ray Davis. Let's start with the rookie. Wrote about him at Arrow Up, Arrow Down. Make sure you check that out, WGR550.com. Arrow Up, Arrow Down. I do it after every game. And Ray Davis leads off the way. I mean, this kid was fantastic last night. He ran physical. He caught the ball 20 times, 97 yards. That's how many runs he had, 20. 4.9 yards a carry. He had three targets, caught them all. One was a really great catch and a busted play kind of from Josh Allen, rolling right, the typical Josh Allen, look downfield, throw it as he's getting to the sidelines. Ray Davis catches it. That one goes for long yardage. He winds up with 55 total receiving, 153 total yards from scrimmage. Doesn't find the end zone on the night. Came very close on the very first drive. But a huge positive for the Bills. Look, I can be the guy sometimes who goes back and reads some tweets from earlier in the week and kind of responds afterward, but I get it. You're in the moment. I'm going to tell you how many, I can't tell you how many tweets I had, how many people on social media who tweeted at me earlier this week when they saw James Cook wasn't practicing and Khalil Shakir wasn't practicing. Just wait. One person even suggested in my social media feed that they should bench Josh Allen for the game to keep him healthy because they have no chance of winning without James Cook or Khalil Shakir. And obviously Shakir played. I mean, what are we doing? It's the NFL, man. That's why you develop players. That's why you draft guys and you put them in positions to hopefully have success. And Ray Davis took it, snatched it, and absolutely ran with it. Literally and figuratively. Terrific game for the running back, the rookie. But no, he's not going to be supplanting or should be supplanting James Cook. James Cook is still really good, and the Bills need him. But I will say this. This was the kind of game and the kind of matchup that was very beneficial for a guy like Ray Davis. Physical, run right at the Jets. They are not a defense you need to toy around with. They'll make you pay. You run right at them. You're physical with them. You show that you're there to match them and play bully ball. And they bullied them on the first drive of the game. Absolutely set the tone for the game. Opening offensive series for the Bills.
Hey, Sal.
Yeah.
Ian Rappaport.
Yes.
The Raiders are completing a trade of Davante Adams to the Jets. 4 minutes ago.
Okay. There it is. Thank you for interrupting me on that. Davante Adams going to the New York Jets. All right. What's it going to do for them? What's it going to do for the Jets? I don't know. Rich Cimini also reporting it as well. Raiders completed a trade for, let's see what they're giving up. Let's see what they're getting back. Davante Adams. All right, we could talk about that as we go forward here today. But the physicality of the first series mattered a lot for the Bills. They set the tone early. 9 plays, 8 were runs. The one pass was Dalton Kincaid. He should be on angry runs. Dalton Kincaid needs to be on angry runs from Kyle Brandt this week. Boom, boom. Maybe it was basically Ray Davis, though, just boom, boom, the whole way down. First run of the game, it wasn't a boom, boom. It was outside. It was 12 yards. Ty Johnson sets the tone. I love when I get a chance to say this sometimes, okay? If you're a young person who plays football, you should be in school right now, all right? But if by chance you're listening, if you're a parent who coaches or has a kid that plays, if you're a coach, Ray Davis last night, this little coaching point I love to bring up when I see it. Anybody who plays running back, has the ball in their hands, quarterback, wide receiver, whatever. If you coach someone, you have a kid that plays, tell them to watch Ray Davis falling forward every time he's going down. He's always falling forward. He was last night. Those hidden yards matter. It looks like a 2-yard gain. It's a 4-yard gain. It looks like 5. It's 6. Because he's always falling forward. His pads are moving forward. His legs are moving forward. Ray Davis gave the Bills so many hidden yards last night just because he was falling forward. Great coaching point to give to everybody out there. Taron Johnson and Taylor Rapp, the return of both of them. How massive was it? Taylor Rapp and Taron Johnson both tied for the team lead with 8 tackles. Taron Johnson with a very athletic interception towards the end of the game. Talk about hidden yardage. The other way was hidden yardage from Taron Johnson. A few times he filled run gaps, which pushed the running back to a different spot that allowed someone else to make the tackle. Those are huge. Taylor Rapp, 3 immense pass breakups, including 1 in the end zone, 1 near the end of the game, 1 in the red zone where he almost intercepted it if he would have looked up maybe in time and located it. Either way, great game from Taylor Rapp. They needed him. They missed him. Against a veteran like Aaron Rodgers, he was a key last night. Now the negatives, which we could touch on. The kicking game is a problem right now. Tyler Bass is an issue right now. And I don't know the answer because it's not as simple as just cutting him. Sure, you can do it. You can make it that simple. Who's going to be someone you trust just as much? I'm telling you, if they brought in a kicker from the street today, I'm having the same feeling he's running out of the field as I am with Tyler Bass right now. I'm like, I don't know if he's going to make it. It has to be addressed in some way. I don't know the total answer, and they have a lot of money invested. I don't think that should be the reason you do or don't make a move, but it has to factor in, I think, to how the Bills are going to approach this. And, of course, the Hail Mary. There are 2 parts to this Hail Mary. Number 1, rushing only 2 players and putting defenders on the outside to guard against the sideline. Okay. I actually have no problem with putting defenders on the outside. The Bills were actually banking on, we'll give you the Hail Mary shot because there's such a less chance to complete it versus we're not going to give you 5-6 yards, get out of bounds, and have a field goal attempt. I understand that because if they give them that, the same people who are complaining about the scheme are saying, how did you give them the outside? The issue was maybe who you had in those spots and then who you had defending. So it's certainly worth a discussion and a criticism on how the Bills defended it. But you got to put some on the players, folks. You got to knock it down. You learn that when you're in Little Loop in high school. I made the mistake early this morning. I apologize. Someone brought it up to my attention. I said, Alan Lazard isn't like this big guy like DeAndre Hopkins. He is a lot. He's actually taller than DeAndre Hopkins. Hopkins looks like so much more lengthy and tall with his arm and his length. So my bad on that. But the point was, Hopkins high points the ball as good as anybody. Lazard didn't even high point it. He went up. He let it bring to his body. You got to knock that down. Not a good job coaching in that situation. Not a good job defending and executing in that situation. Both can be true. Either way, it allowed the Jets back in. I mean, it was a complete control for the Bills up until that point. And then things changed, and it could have really been disastrous. But listen, this game was filled with more good than bad. Way more good than bad. Yeah, there were issues. The penalties, the kicking game, the Hail Mary. There were issues. There are things that have to be cleaned up. There was a lot more good from this game than bad, and that's why the Bills are at 4-2 today, atop the division by 2.5 games, and they win 23-20. In case you just didn't hear it a minute ago, Devontae Adams getting traded to the New York Jets. We'll see what they're giving up in compensation, how the money works, but that is the deal being reported by Ian Rappaport and others.
From Rappaport, it sounds like a conditional third that could become a second based on performance. And another report from Adam Schefter saying that it sounds like the Jets are taking the entirety of the salary.
Wow. I mean, Jets are all in. They've been all in, and so far it's busted out for them. All right, let's start it off here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show on a Buffalo Football Tuesday with Angelo in West Seneca. Hi, Angelo. Go ahead.
Hi, Don Sal.
I'm good.
Thanks for taking my call.
Yep.
Three things. First and foremost, Bass. He's got to go. Number two, Hamblin. I don't know how long they're going to stick around with him either. And number three, the penalties. Something has to be done with the NFL with these penalties. They dictate the game every game that we watch. They dictate it. It's almost like they want the game to go longer so people still watch or something. That's all I got. I don't know.
You don't have anything positive from a win last night?
Well, I mean, they look pretty good.
I just want to make sure. I mean, like I said, there's a lot more good than bad. I know we're going to get a lot of the negative and stuff, but they did win 23-20 last night. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Okay. I just want to make sure. It's okay. I'm just giving you the chance to do it if you want. What'd you like last night, Angela? I'll do it that way.
The last two games have just been so negative. I'm glad they won. But
yeah.
You know, the defense, the run, they're 32nd in the league against the run.
They are.
That's got to change.
Sure.
I mean, getting Johnson back and Bernard is great, too. That's a big difference. You could tell right there.
Yeah, I didn't think that they got gashed on the ground last night, but the numbers weren't great. 5.8 yards a carry is way too much. But, like, other than the Ravens game, the run defense hasn't really killed them in games. It hasn't cost them games. The Ravens, it did. They're giving up way too many yards per carry, but that's the way the structure of the defense is. They don't want to get beat throwing the ball. And, look, Aaron Rodgers actually did throw the ball well last night. So, you know, to me, if you're going to pick one or the other, I'd rather get run on than throw on in this league now because, you know, you have these great quarterbacks who can make all these great plays down the field, and they made a few last night. But it is something that has to change and be better. It didn't seem like the Jets ran off. Like, they had some chunk plays, there's no doubt. But it wasn't like they were getting gashed on the ground all night. I didn't think the Bills were. And then I look at the end of the game, I'm like, 5.8 yards a carry. That is far too many. And they do have to clean that up for sure. Rob in Toronto. Hi, Rob. You're on WGR.
Hey, good morning, Sal.
Good morning.
I just wanted to touch on a few things. So, positives. One positive is I believe Aaron Rodgers is the new scepter holder for poster child of people you can root against, taking over Tom Brady's longstanding position. A win is a win within the division. Yeah, it was ugly at times, but, I mean, the division is ours for the taking. I'll champion the defense for just timely plays, stepping up, making some crucial plays at crucial times. Yeah, we gave up some points. We gave up some yardage, but they were there. I love seeing Knox get more involved. And can you imagine what this team will look like if our defense gets healthy and all pieces in place for January? The one negative I got to tell you, Sal, I watched the game with my father. He's the world's biggest pessimist. And I sat there defending them all first half and then 8 seconds. Have we not learned any lessons on Hail Marys? How do you rush two and just let Aaron Rodgers sit back? That is egregious to me. Like, yeah. I can't defend that kind of play calling. It's just embarrassing. But a win's a win. Get healthy. Be ready for the playoffs. Go Bills.
Thanks. All right. Thanks a lot, Rob. Appreciate it. I get it. Like, you can't. I mean, Rodgers is so good at that. And he checked to a play. He checked to the Hail Mary, I think. There's no doubt the Bills should have not only rushed only two players. I hope that made sense. They should have rushed more than two. But I would also tell you, I don't mind defending the sidelines, but you have to still be rushed more than two. Like, I don't know. I got to look at the schematics again and go back. Middle of the field, you don't have to worry about that as much. Just, you know, they're not going to complete a pass inbounds and get up there and spike the ball and kick a field goal. For sure. Like, the Hail Mary is a big talking point today. I get it. I do. And it was egregious from two different standpoints. One, rushing two players, and the other, not making the play. I'll also tell you that if he drops it, I don't even know if we're talking about it today. You might be like, man, why'd they rush two? Oh yeah, forget about that. They won, you know, they won by 10 points. It's amazing. If you knock it down, someone knocks it down, right? So, yeah, it was an issue. There's no doubt. But I just think that it's something that plays happen. The other team makes plays in games, and sometimes you chalk it up to bad execution or bad coaching or both in this case, maybe, whatever it is. Still far more good than bad last night, but I know that the Hail Mary is sticking out like everybody, and it feels weird to me. When you win a game on the road in New York, Monday Night Football, and all these different things that don't even go your way, and you still escape, and yet the talk is about a play at the end of the half that actually didn't matter on the scoreboard, like at the end of the day. Maybe it's because it's a bigger problem that people have just seen what's happening at the end of games and at the end of halves, and I understand. It's just sticking with you. It's like Tyler Bass, right? Tyler Bass has missed 4 points, did not cost this team. But here I am telling you, too, they have an issue there, and it's sticking out because it's become way too much and way too often. Let's go to Dave in Florida. Hi, Dave.
How you doing there, Sal? Love the show. As far as last night goes, I was, you know, trying to wind down after the game, and all the negativity coming at the guys on the radio, I was like, come on. I mean, this is a relatively young team that got turned over. We were dinged up. They're playing on Monday night. I mean, all the things are up against them, and they won. And oh, by the way, that defense, they're showing some brilliance. I mean, you know, having Ratback and Johnson was amazing. Those guys played lights out. You know, it seems like as the Mafia has grown, it's gotten more pessimistic. And I'm surprised, because aren't we supposed to hang with our team? I mean, you know, people going after the coach right away last night and stuff. I'm like, come on, man. I mean, nobody even in the NFL thought they'd be any good at all this year. And here they are, you know, so, you know, get real, you know, it's an NFL. I mean, you know, there's going to be plays and games, and yeah, the decision-making out of two rushing linemen and the Hail Mary, okay, but they had four guys around the guy that caught the ball. Like you said, you just got to sometimes just got to make a play, you know, and, you know, anyway, I see more positives than negatives, especially since they're dinged up and stuff, and, yeah, I'm pleased, and I'm just saying, Mitchell's Mafia, man, come on, lighten up, man.
Yeah, I think. Yeah, listen, I understand some pessimism coming, you know, from fans after some botched plays, some miscues, especially when you have the heels of last week in Houston at the end of the game, and then this happens at the end of the half. But I'll go back to what I said earlier, and it's true. There was far more positive than negative last night. And that's why they won 23-20. I don't know if people understand how tough it is to go on the road and win a Monday Night Football game against a division rival. It's not easy. And it wasn't easy last night, but they did. And that's what the bottom line is, that they won the game last night. Yogesh, is that how you say your name in Wisconsin?
Yes, Sal, it's great to talk to you. I'm in the Bills Mafia deep here in Packer country, but
love
I'm
it.
Staying strong. I want to talk about how big a game this was. We win this game, we have an 85% chance to win the division. We lose this game, the whole talk is about our entire team falling apart and about the Jets ascending. We win a tough division game, especially on the heels of what happened last year when we went to the Jets in a primetime game. Also, I want to talk about a contrast. I've been a Bills fan for 47 years, and I've seen us lose this game more times than we've won it. My kid, she's been watching for the last 5 years. She's sitting here calm on the couch watching everything unfold, and she's like, don't worry, Dad, the Bills got this. So we're in a new era of Bills fandom. And one last thing I want to touch on is the last 2 minutes of the game. We're not really talking about it this week like we were last week. This week we get the big turnover. We trust our quarterback, Josh Allen, on third down. We make some smart plays, and there's no drama. So I think that's a real growing moment for McDermott and the team there. And I know it's a minor thing. Obviously, you're going to run the ball three times under 2 minutes when they have three timeouts. But we didn't do something stupid like we did last week. So I think it shows growth as a team, and the division is ours. And we're on top, and no one's going to get us.
All right, man. I like it. I'm glad you brought that up, Yogesh. By the way, real quick, before I let you go, what's Packers country like right now with Aaron Rodgers? Like, what's the vibe about him and his play and being on the Jets? And are there people that still love him? Is he not liked? What's the deal there?
So the Packers fan base is the most entitled fan base out there. They got Jordan Love. So they're like, oh, we have our next Hall of Fame Super Bowl quarterback. As soon as Brett Favre was gone, as soon as he went to the Vikings and the Jets, they call him Brent. They hated him. Rodgers is gone now. They just focus on conspiracy theories, arrogance, and whatever drugs he's doing. So they get their Super Bowl, and it's dead to them. And they're the most entitled, privileged fan base. And they're not like the Bills. They don't stick with their guys. I still wear my J.P. Lossman jersey.
Ah, I love it. But I'm going to disagree with you. They're not the most entitled fan base. That would belong to the Boston sports crowd, and especially the Patriots.
Okay, I mean, it's a tough competition, but, you know, I will say this. The Packers are publicly owned. Their fans are really loyal. But,
yes, they are.
You know, when you get in that bubble and you get around, people are winning all the time, and they're trying to compare their losses to the Bills' losses, and I'm like, no. I've seen you guys win multiple Super Bowls. We just want our one Super Bowl. Give us that one Super Bowl and let us die happy.
Yogesh, thanks for giving a call, man. Thanks for hanging out. Appreciate it.
All right. Thanks so much, Sam.
All right. You got it. You got it. We'll take a timeout here on a Buffalo Football Tuesday. The Bills with a 23-20 win over the New York Jets. I'm glad Yogesh brought up the end of the game. It is interesting to me, right? Like, lots of criticism on the Hail Mary. Not saying it's not warranted. That's the first call we had about how great they played the last few minutes of the game, actually. And that deserves to be credited to the players and the coaches all around. A lot more positive than negative last night. Yes, the negatives stand out for a lot of reasons. But the bottom line is 23-20. Enough got done to win this game and the Bills to be on top of the division at 4-2. We'll come back. We'll take a look at our Barnes injury report. And, of course, our Buffalo Football Tuesday is brought to you by Northwest Bank. For what's next, get started at northwest.com. Stay on the line if you're there. We still have open phone lines at 803-0550.
Takes the snap, back to pass, looks to the left, has Dalton Kincaid at the 45, breaks a tackle at a 50, breaks another one as he runs over a defender, and he's got a first down, and that's got the Bills bench up and fired.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast.
Postseason baseball is here, and it is the absolute best time of the year. I'm Rob Bradford of Baseballs and Boring, and we're going to have you covered every step of the way with instant reactions from players and coaches and managers and fans and reporters and everybody else who is immersed in this awesomeness and all the craziness that comes with October baseball. So follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Thank you. awesome to see. That's why we drafted him. He's not going to, you know, surprise you with his speed, but he's just so quick in and out of his cuts. He's downhill, and his center of gravity is so low that, you know, he's tough to bring down. And he runs the ball super hard, protects the ball. Very proud of him for stepping up.
That was Josh Allen on Ray Davis. Allen, a lot of leadership last night that came out from Allen. I don't know if people caught it, but a lot of talk about what happened after the Deion Dawkins situation at the end of the third quarter into the fourth quarter, the penalty. Deion talked about it after the game. But Allen, Josh Allen, came over to the sidelines and was kind of barking at Deion about it. And you could see he was a little bit heated up over the what was transpiring. And listen, the Bills were hurting themselves a lot in this game with penalties. I mean, the penalties were outrageous, how many were called, and so many that just should not have been called, right? Come on, what are we doing? I'm glad Aaron Rodgers at least even went public after the game and said the A.J. Epinesa roughing the passer was ridiculous. He said it wasn't a roughing the passer. The officials last night, they became the show and took control of the game, and that should not be the case. Nobody goes there to see you, man, right? Like, what are you doing? Some of those calls were just ridiculously egregious from an official standpoint. However, the Bills did commit too many penalties, especially pre-snap. Now, you can debate on ticky-tack illegal formations. I think that's right. But don't give them a reason to call an illegal formation. It's the same thing last year with the Kansas City Chiefs, Kadarius Toney, right? Everybody's like, well, look at him. He's lined up here. You never call that. Don't give him a reason to call it. And the Bills did last night too many times. So that's got to be cleaned up. Lots of stuff that still needs to be cleaned up. Listen, it's a coach's... Everybody wants to win 40-0, right? You'd love if that happened. But I'm telling you, coaches like when they win a game and still have a lot to get on their team about. Kind of makes everything the next week, you know, still go keep the machine running, so to speak. And not let you get, you know, resting on what you did. And credit to the Bills players in the locker room. They said that. They said there's a lot we have to clean up after this game. They were not walking out. The Bills players did not walk out of that locker room and say, hey, everything's good again, 4-2, we're totally fine. It was, hey, we won. Super happy, super proud, but got some work to do here. All right, let's go to Greg in, where are you, Greg? Kensington? Kingston. There you go. Hi, Greg.
Hey, Sal. Thanks so much for taking my call. Really appreciate it.
You got it.
Love the show. Yeah. Just want to, you know, I left last night's game just trying to keep the big picture in perspective, just feeling amazed that we have Josh Allen as our quarterback. And it's just been so fun to continue to watch him grow as a leader, as you just mentioned, and hearing the impact he's had on the entire team, listening to Ray Davis's interview last night, and just how humble Ray Davis is, how humble so many of the teammates are, putting that team mentality first. I'm just really excited for this team and where they're going. You know, I just think it's important in that in the week-to-week reactions we have, as some of the callers are mentioning, just to maintain that optimism and think about where we are versus, you know, where we were 10 years ago. I was in kindergarten for Super Bowl 25, and that was, you know, my introduction to Bills fandom. So I'm just so thankful for this team. I think, you know, really excited. Yes, I think we have a piece missing a wide receiver that would put us over that hump, but you know, really not far away. And, you know, the defense is continuing to play strong. So just, you know, I know fans are hungry. You know, we have been eating lately, but I know we're waiting for that Super Bowl banquet and excited to get to that point. And I think this team's going to make it there. So just feeling so grateful for this team and just super excited to continue to watch what happens this season.
Thanks a lot, Greg. Good call. I really appreciate that. Good sentiment right there. I mean, yeah, that's a lot of it, right? Like, you know, you went through 17 years of no playoffs. It's been a really nice run here, and you can kind of get a little spoiled, I think. I think you can. There's certainly a lot of things to clean up from last night that you can criticize or talk about, but last night was still better, you know, to be on the better end there, and there was still a lot more positive than negative. But for me, it's more of a big picture. And if I could do something to... Like, there's one thing I could really try to train everybody to do and inject something in you to have you do this, right? Because I get it. Fans are fans. They're going to watch their game mostly, going to watch their team. And most fans, not all, they're not going to watch every game around the league. You're not going to see and break down all the film. We have people who do that and content creators and all that. But if I could train and get people to understand one of my pet peeves, but I get it and I try to implore this, and I just want you to try to understand when I say this, okay? You have to take a look at other teams too in the league. Your team is never going to be perfect. The other team has professional football players and professional coaches who get paid to beat you. And you're going to have ebbs and flows in games, ebbs and flows in seasons. You're going to have bad plays that happen, bad coaching mistakes that happen. You never want that. You want it to be perfect. But when you win a game 23-20 and more positive happens, and the talk after the game is about so much negativity, I'm like, get some perspective, man. Like, what do you think radio sounds like in Cincinnati this week? I mean, they won, right? But I mean, like, where they are. What do you think it sounds like, you know, with the Jets and everything they've done? And they've been here for so long, right? Pick a team. They're the Cowboys. It's not easy to win. Even the teams that do win don't always win. The Ravens. Yeah, they're looking great right now. They've looked really well over the last few years, and then they have stumbled in the playoffs. Get some perspective on how tough it is every week to go out there and win games, and that not everything's going to be perfect. If all you do is look at your team every week and watch your one game, and then you see all these great numbers from teams and the highlights everybody's showing, talking about how they look at the players of the week. If you think that's like what it should be for every team, you have no perspective. Because on the other side of that is a team that lost every week. It's a team that played poorly, that had coaching blunders, that had horrible play. You know, I mean, it's just, I just think perspective gets lost. The fact that it's a league and it's a sport, there's professional players are getting paid to beat you. Yes, we can talk about, and we deserve to, and we have to, and we have to give the space to talk about all the bad things that happen in a game. It's not all, like I said, I'm generally an optimistic guy, as you know. It's not all rainbows and roses. I get it. But I think it's a great example of somebody called earlier. The Hail Mary was brutal, right? I mean, here we've had these end-of-game situations, end-of-half situations. Here's the Hail Mary. Not a lot of people are talking about how great the end of the game was, actually, though, for the Bills. Like, they closed it out. That was good coaching. And that was good execution all around. So, you know, those things matter, too. It's just the bad things stand out so much, I think. And you've seen them rear their head a few too many times, so they stand out so much. They also did a great job at the end of the game coaching and playing. And that needs to be recognized. Okay, let's go to Tim in Carolina. Hi, Tim. You're on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show.
Hey, Sal. Thanks. Yep. I first wanted to say that a lot of people are calling for, you know, Tyler Bass to, and I'm one of them, you know, but he's got to figure it out. We just paid him. We're not ready to eat that money. You just got to hope that he figures it out. With the whole Tyler Bass thing. The one player that I am kind of sick of seeing is DeMar Hamlin. I really just see this guy out there running around and kind of making business decisions. Like, it's a great story. He's a warrior. You know, Bills, I get the whole thing. But at the end of the day, man, he's one person that I would really like to see, you know, Cole Bishop or somebody just step up and take the spot away. Taylor Rapp, by the way, give the man his flowers. But the DeMar Hamlin thing is just over for me. I'm sick and tired of seeing it. As far as the positives go, I called last week. I don't know if it was your show or somebody else's, but when Dawson Knox is included in this offense in the receiving aspect, this offense is so much better, and I'm so happy for him to get the touchdown. He's been through a lot the past couple of years and things like that. So happy to see that. And, of course, Ray Davis stepping up. Are you kidding me? You know, welcome to the NFL, kid. Played a ton of college football and was great in college, but – Monday Night Football, division rival on the road, and he just steps up like that. It was incredible to see. And the last thing, Sal, I do want to get your take. I don't know if it looked different from the sideline, but I thought the Aaron Rodgers fumble, no fumble, was really, really odd. Mm-hmm. If that's not a fumble, then why is it not grounding? Yep. And also, why are they immediately just like, you know, doing the air, you know, coming over and disputing that within seconds? It was really confusing. I just want to get your take on it. Thank you.
Yeah, you got it, Tim. I'm going to address this right now. I appreciate you calling and asking first of all, let me say about DeMar Hamlin. The issue with DeMar Hamlin is that he's not like a playmaking safety, and he doesn't attack the ball very well. He's more of a, I disagree, Tim. He's making business decisions. I think he's a physical guy, He's not shying away necessarily. Maybe you saw something last night. I can go back and look. Maybe you saw something specific. But he's not a guy who makes plays. And we're so used to having Poyer and Hyde. And last night, obviously, you know, Taylor Rapp and even Cole Bishop, you know, he made a couple mistakes, a big one in the game last week, but he was making plays off the edge. That's not DeMar Hamlin's game. DeMar Hamlin's game is actually kind of pretty well suited for what they want to do, which is keep everything in front of you and kind of live to fight another down, right? But I get it. He's not the most athletic guy, and I wouldn't be surprised or nor opposed to Cole Bishop taking that spot if Cole Bishop's ready. But I can't have Cole Bishop making mistakes that go over the top of him like he did last week. So as much as we both would like to see Cole Bishop, you're also having some risk-reward there with a rookie who made that mistake last week. Let's get to the Aaron Rodgers fumble. I agree 100% with you, Tim. I said it on the sidelines. If that's an incomplete pass, why isn't it intentional grounding? Who's he throwing it to? And I think it was actually a tuck rule that should have been a fumble. Tuck rule has been changed. It is a fumble now. That was a tuck rule. He came down, and he was still controlling the ball in his hand. And then it went down. And then it was, you know, came out of his hand. The officials obviously ruled different. What they said was his arm was moving forward. Okay, incomplete pass. Should have been intentional grounding. I agree 100% with that. But that was just another botched situation by the officials who had too many of them last night. Let's go to Mike in Lancaster. Thanks, Tim. What's up, Mike?
Hey, Sal. How's it going?
Good, thanks.
Got three things, actually. One is Daquan Jones. I haven't even heard his name mentioned this year, and he seems like since he come back from the injury and being on the line there, he is just I don't even see him in the game. No pressures, no nothing with the guy. Second thing is DeMar Hamlin. If you watch the pick from Taron Johnson on that play, I don't know if you get your way you look at it, but if you watch DeMar Hamlin on that in the middle, he totally is not going with the deep man there and kind of gets caught in nowhere land. So, and then I just wanted you to see if you could take a look at that play and see.
I will say this. I haven't seen it, but I will tell you what Taron Johnson said after the game. Taron Johnson said that Terrell Bernard, because the Jets had done something where Terrell Bernard kind of had to change up the call, the defensive call late. So even Taron, he said, even he was a little bit late getting where he had to go, but he knew he had to get there quickly, so he did. And like I said earlier, DeMar's not the greatest athlete, right? So it could have been a situation, too, where he's also trying to get into his position, and now because you double down with him not being the most fleet-of-foot guy necessarily, that he's also going to be a little bit, you know, late in getting to where he's supposed to be. And, by the way, it was kind of a disjointed play from Rodgers to Williams. Apparently, Williams, like, Rodgers thought he was doing one thing and Williams did another, so I think from that perspective, it was all kind of screwed up. I get what you're saying, but that's the perspective I got from Taron Johnson on how that went down on the defensive side.
Gotcha, okay.
Okay, Daquan Jones. He did have a sack last night. He also had a tackle for a loss, and he was quite credited with two quarterback hurries.
Okay. I guess I haven't heard his name much. It just doesn't seem like he's been as good as he was before.
I wouldn't disagree with that. I think last year he was very good against the run and interior pressure. That hasn't happened as much. Now, he hasn't had Ed Oliver next to him in the last two games. I think that matters. But last night, though, I don't know if now is the time. Like, you can. I know that like the perspective of hearing that or seeing that, but I will tell you statistically, last night he was good. I mean, he only had two tackles. And you're not going to get a lot at D-line necessarily, but he was credited with a sack and a quarterback hurry. One quarterback. I said two earlier, one quarterback hurry. So he did show up in the stat sheet a little bit last night, Mike. And I agree with you, though, that not necessarily the full-bodied player that he was last year, but you know, maybe with Ed Oliver hopefully coming back next week, you see a little bit more of that. We'll take a timeout. We'll come back, and we will continue to take your phone calls on the Bills 23-20 win over the New York Jets on Monday Night Football last night. Oh, yeah, by the way, get to the Barnes injury report when we come back after this timeout.
It's another run play, another giant hole, cuts it back, five, runs over a defender, he's down to the goal line. They say he's down at the two. Ray Davis is wrecking defenders. Sauce Gardner, the victim on that one.
All right, real quick, Mike in Tonawanda. What's going on, Mike?
Hey, Sal. How are you today?
Good, thanks. Go ahead, buddy.
So I want to make a point about the receiver situation. You know, it's really frustrating to watch guys like Mac Hollins and MVS out there every day. You know, you've got a Ferrari under center and you're driving him down the pothole filled streets of Buffalo instead of on the Autobahn in Germany. It's just really frustrating to watch, you know. It almost feels like wasting Josh's prime in what could be an MVP season. And I want to get your opinion on what options are even out there to kind of, you know, bump this up that are realistic. Obviously, the Devontae Adams situation fell through, and we probably wouldn't have been able to make that money work anyways. So I just want your take on either if there's any free agents that you've seen out there or, you know, what realistic trade options we have available to us.
Well, nobody is a free agent is going to come in and help this team. Otherwise, they wouldn't be free agents. There's 32 teams and they haven't signed with anybody. That tells you something, right? So the answer has to be either internally, KJ Hamler, Tyrell Shavers, they're on your practice squad, or you got to go out and make a deal for an Amari Cooper now, maybe. Or who? Maybe a Cortland Sutton, someone who's, you know, you could probably bring in, absorb on a contract that, you know, you can kind of, it can be okay for you. I would say those are the two guys whose names come up most frequently. I don't know what the other answer is other than, you know, Joe Brady and the offense doing a better job to get these guys open. I share your concerns. There's no doubt about it, Mike. I do. But I just don't know what the options are limited. You're not signing someone who's not on a team to come in and help, because otherwise that guy would be on a team already with 32 teams around the league and, you know, full rosters. That's why they're not even on a team right now, is because people don't believe they're good enough to play, right?
Sure. I'm usually a pretty big optimist when it comes to the team too. I was, you know, excited about Curtis Samuel too coming into the season.
Yeah.
You know, as everybody else was. But you know, I'm hoping that there's a trade lingering soon because,
well,
you know, especially with other teams around us, you know, adding up. I mean, even look at the Jets now after getting Devontae Adams. That's a lot scarier of an opponent to play when you've got guys like Garrett Wilson and Devontae Adams running around you.
Yeah, no doubt. They're already a really talented offense, Mike. Thanks for the call. I got to run. Real quick, Barnes Injury Report is brought to you by the Barnes Firm. Car crash? For help, call 1-800-8-MILLION. I can do it quickly because no injuries last night to report on officially from the Bills sideline. We'll get anything from Sean McDermott later today when he meets with the media via Zoom, but no injuries from the Bills sideline last night on the official injury report. That's your Barnes Injury Report, brought to you by the Barnes Firm. Car crash? For help, call 1-800-8-MILLION. We'll be back after this. We'll take more of your phone calls another hour on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show, presented by Catholic Health and Northwest Bank.
Postseason baseball is here, and it is the absolute best time of the year. I'm Rob Bradford of Baseballs and Boring, and we're going to have you covered every step of the way with instant reactions from players and coaches and managers and fans and reporters and everybody else who is immersed in this awesomeness and all the craziness that comes with October baseball. So follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.